Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Death of Death, where we proclaim Christ's victory over sin, death, and everything else. I'm your host, Nick Stewart. I really have no idea if this is going to work. I started trying to record this episode with Pro Tools, only to find out that it's not compatible with the newest update of Mac. So now I'm doing this on Audacity, and I'm having all sorts of problems. I can only hear out of one headphone for some reason, and I'm not sure how the volume's going to be, so just getting this done because I want to give you guys an episode this week, so I don't know what it's actually going to sound like on the other side, but hopefully it'll pass. You know, I've been so blessed to have the quality of sound that I've had on this podcast because I'm using such expensive stuff, but now that that's not working, we might be degraded to the level of a normal podcast that don't know what they're doing. So I hope you're all doing well. I'm doing extremely well because my church is finally meeting in person this Sunday. Someone was gracious enough to let us use their backyard, so I'm really excited about that. It'll already be in the past by the time you hear this, so let me know how the future is. Shout out to our newest patron, Kelly Stewart, who is totally not my mom. That last name is just a total coincidence. I say the slogan of the show in every episode right at the top when I do the introduction: Christ's victory over sin, death, and everything else. The reason I framed the show the way I did was because I saw limitless possibilities with things like God's reversal of death and the juxtaposition of life and death before and after the cross, and Christ overthrowing the power of death, and many other things. I figured if I themed the podcast the way I did, I would always have something to talk about. That's definitely proven true, but, and this is a big but, I haven't really utilized the show to talk about that subject all that much since we finished our series on Romans 5 and 6. So I think now is a really good time to broach the subject yet again for many reasons, and I want to revisit this theme a little more often than we have been. So one reason is that the world at large is forced to face death in a way that's unique. At least to this generation, it is very unique. If you've ever heard a single episode of the show, you know I'm sick of talking about it, but odds are, you know, I call BS on pretty much any data relating to COVID-19. The death rate and the death toll are both grossly inflated. That being said, even if the virus had killed 100,000 people, that's statistically not that much. But we all know the statistics mean nothing to the individual. That's a huge amount when the death rate is supposed to be zero. In God's perfect creation, there was no death, so any amount of it is 100% too much. Even if COVID-19 were no threat at all, the fear of that death is still on someone's mind every single day. Everywhere you drive, signs tell you how dangerous it is to be outside and you should go home before you get sick or get someone else sick. That's how they get you. You're going to get someone else sick. Everyone has masks on. And if you're like me, you're not wearing a mask. So you know that people give you the stink eye as if you really are there to hurt them everywhere you go. People are preoccupied with fear like they never have been before. A second really good reason to talk about these things is because of what happened to George Floyd. The entire world saw that man murdered on video. The entire world had a reaction to it. Some held signs, some looted and burned down buildings, some went out and beat up protesters, some spent their time verbally coming to the defense of police, trying to politics their way out of having any sort of righteous anger. But from what I've been reading, George Floyd was not a great guy, but that's still no reason to murder someone. So I'll leave it at that and not address, you know, his character any further. We saw the entire world cry out for justice. We saw an entire world grasp for justice the way they grasped those signs, the way they grasped those bricks, the way they grasped those batons. If they didn't grab justice and force it into their pockets, then that police officer would literally get away with murder. That's what I was seeing on the news. Ironically, the question has been raised only by Christians: where is God and how could he allow this? For some reason, those who claim to trust him are the only ones who ask that question. It doesn't appear to be on the minds of unbelievers at all. Now, one article, a notable article, which was written by N.T. Wright for Time magazine, I'm not as harsh a critic of that article as a lot of people were. I think the title is needlessly provocative. It's titled something like Christianity Doesn't Have an Answer for Coronavirus or something like that. The article itself wasn't really as bad as people said it was. It contains some really bad theology, and it stops short of what the Bible actually tells us. But it's not a bad point overall. His point is that lament doesn't require answers. Lament only requires us to lament. We may never get answers. The problem is that he went so far as to say that Christianity has no answers to something like this pandemic. John Lennox has also spoken on this topic, and he even wrote and published a book just in the time since all this started, which I find admirable. But in my opinion, Lennox spends too much time trying to get God off the hook for this. In a weird twist of fate, when people blame God for things like the pandemic, they're presupposing a sovereign God who's in charge of such things, and Lennox's first instinct is to tell them that they're wrong. I can have a better conversation with someone who's making that presupposition than I can ever have with a Christian who doesn't believe God intervenes in the world today. Now, if you heard episode 13 of this podcast, you know it's theologically untenable to say God isn't in charge of sickness and disease. In fact, he's in charge of life and death itself. So when an unbeliever presupposes that he's in charge of it somehow, I don't think we should talk them out of it. I think we should tell them that God is the standard of goodness and he can do no wrong. I don't know why you would want to talk someone out of believing in a sovereign God. So often in this type of conversation, we miss probably the biggest contribution the Bible makes to this subject. We just shrug our shoulders and say, it's a fallen world. As if that's going to explain why Amy Winehouse died of a drug overdose, or why police are given free militaristic reign over U.S. citizens, or why Lost ended. Is it really that simple? It's just a fallen world and people are going to do what they're going to do. That's not really the sketch that the Bible draws. I mean, it's partly true, but that's not where the story ends. The Bible tells us about the cross, which is God's response to sin and death. It's not only his response, but his solution. It's not just a warm blanket on a frostbitten foot. It's a heart transplant. Does that make sense? It's not just something that arrests the development of the fallen world. It's something that reverses the damage that's already been done. God hated death and viruses and injustice so much that he sent his son to die for it. Jesus not only pays for the sins of the elect and rescues us from death, but through the church, which is Christ's body, the entire world has been affected in a positive way. I realize there have been times when the church was less than great in history, and also like to people personally, like there have been times where churches have hurt me and you probably. But honestly, those examples pale in comparison to all God has done through the church throughout the last 2,000 years. Through science, medicine, charity to the poor and the dying, the church has done so much to reverse the curse, which is just an annex of the work Jesus did on the cross. Think about how many lives vaccines have saved, hospitals in general. My point is that we don't have to wait until a disembodied afterlife to see God's solution and his answer to the problem of pain. We don't have to wait to see the answer to the murder of George Floyd, because in a society where Christian values pervade even the consciences of the Antichrist, justice is demanded, and if God has grace and mercy on us, justice will be served. But we already know that there has been something put in place as an answer to this. For some reason, there's a reluctance on the part of some to use the cross as an apologetic answer. If you argue for a vague, monotheistic void of personality like some apologists are known to argue for, then I understand why. But if you're arguing for the triune Christian God of the Bible that we're arguing for, we should have no problem using the cross as an answer. God in Christ has begun the reversal of the fall by his work on the cross. And all throughout history, we see that reversal advance more and more, and someday it'll be no more. I'm going to end it right there because last week's episode was really long. But before you go, do me three favors that will cost you absolutely nothing but your time, and they will help the show tremendously. Go over to Apple Podcasts and write the show a 5-star review. If you've already done that, thank you. If you haven't, it just helps us be higher on the results, the search results, basically, on the app. Go to the homepage at deathofdeath.net and sign up for the email list. If you've already done that, thank you. If you haven't, that'll just help me get information to you. And if anything ever happens where I'm taken off of a platform, I can still get a hold of you and get content out to you. That's all that's for. Share the show on social media. Here's why. People trust you. If you like something and you recommend it, then someone out there will take you seriously and will listen to the show because you told them to. And if you've already done that, thank you. But if not, I value your opinion if you're listening to the show, and other people in your life value your opinion. So if you share an episode, it doesn't have to be this episode, just share any of the episodes that you liked, people will take that seriously, that it matters to people. So that will help, the exposure of the show. So if you have actually done all of those things, which I know Cameron Morgan and Nick Quint have, then I can't thank you enough for all the support that you've given us. I've been your host, Nick, here to tell you that Lost is better the 19th time you watch it, and if you're as committed to Christ's victory as I am, I'll be here to do it with you all again next week. Goodbye for now.